This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. All good, thank you. I was fascinated to read a report that Israel apparently is considered to be the fifth most educated country in the world. And the basis of the survey that was done, which decided this, is apparently on the basis of tertiary education. And Israel apparently has more than 50% of its population who have completed tertiary education. But here is the kicker for some people out there, which is that as far as the mix between genders of those who are educated in Israel, those who have tertiary education, apparently 62% of those who have tertiary education are women in Israel.
That's amazing.
So that is an amazing statistic. Just to complete the top 10 countries in this particular survey that was done by an education search platform called Erudera, the top 10 countries are Canada, Japan, Luxembourg, South Korea, the United States, Ireland, UK, Australia, and Finland, and of course Israel being fifth on that list.
Which is so interesting because you and I had this conversation a few months ago, and you were lamenting, in fact it was just before school started on the 1st of September, and we were talking about the strikes, and you were lamenting the state of education is in Israel. In fact, one of the things you said is in many ways it's broken, and yet we see this as somehow it seems to work itself out, doesn't it?
There is definitely a disconnect between the high school education that Israelis get and the level of education overall in Israel, because it does work itself out somehow that in spite of what I consider to be a relatively poor high school system that we have in Israel, in spite of that fact, most Israelis somehow find their way to get properly educated and to get a good tertiary education, to the point that more than 50% of Israelis have tertiary education. So there is definitely a disconnect somewhere, and I'm still trying to work through how this resolves itself ultimately, because, you know, one of the things that I always say is that whenever you go to any of the top educational institutions in the world, whether it be the Ivy League universities, colleges in America, or whether it be Oxbridge in the UK, or indeed any other educational facility around the world, you are always going to find Israeli students there. Going to find Israeli students. And yet, I just wonder how they get there with this school education process. Really, I just do. And I think a lot of it is about determination and Jewish parents who really want the best for their children, in spite of the broken high school system that we find here.
Fascinating. The Israeli government appears to be trying a new tactic to calm down the unrest that's in the West Bank and Jerusalem. What is this new tactic?
So this really refers specifically to an incident, an event that took place over the weekend when apparently one of the members of the newly formed Lion's Den group, which is based in Jenin, and one of those, in Nablus, let me start again. The Lion's Den group, which is based itself in Nablus, one of their senior leaders actually was killed over the weekend in what seems to be a targeted attack. And I've seen video footage which shows somebody placing a motorcycle in a very strategic position, and then fast forward a short while, possibly a half an hour or more, and we see the leader of the newly formed Lion's Den in Nablus walking past the motorcycle. The motorcycle detonates and the individual has been killed. That's the video footage that I've seen. And of course, Israel stands accused of having carried out this assassination on the leader of the Lion's Den. But of course, one has to put all of this into context. First of all, let's talk about the fact that there was a stabbing that took place on Saturday in the Jerusalem area, where an ultra-Orthodox 20-year-old person was stabbed. And the stabbing took place in the area of Givat HaMivtar, which is not too far from where the Shuafat refugee camp is situated. The ultra-Orthodox man was left with a knife in his back in this neighborhood, and the individual then ran away. He was pursued by Israeli police who were near to the area. And then there is more video footage, because these days everything is captured on video, whether it be body cam or whether it be videos that are in the area or people just putting their phones up. But we see this on video where the individual who carried out this attack was then accosted. He'd run towards football fields where children were playing football. He'd run towards there, chased by Israeli police. He was then stopped by police and warned to stop, to try to arrest him. He then ran away more further into the football field, and he was actually shot by a policeman in the leg. He was not killed. He is still receiving treatment in an Israeli hospital, as is indeed that ultra-Orthodox man who is quite seriously injured and is receiving hospital treatment in Jerusalem. And, of course, many children who were on that football field had no idea about what all of this incident was about. Many of them witnessed the shooting of that individual and the police coming around to try to arrest him. Some of the children who witnessed that were quite shocked and had no idea that this was really a terror incident. I think on the face of things, they thought there might have been some criminal activity going on. But indeed, this was all part of a terror incident that happened in Jerusalem over the weekend. And of course, we then link to the Lion's Den leader who was killed in that, what seems to be in a targeted attack carried out by, we believe, Israel, in terms of trying to limit the impact that Lion's Den is having, because they seem to have come around very, really quickly. And they've also apparently been linked to the start of another group in the Arab town of Tulkarm, which is called Eagle's Nest. Now, that seems to be a kind of a Lion's Den type lookalike entity that's been set up in Tulkarm this time, as opposed to in Nablus. And it seems as if, though, there is an attempt to try to proliferate these localized organizations to try and encourage people to take up arms and to create further and further unrest and violence. And of course, Israel saying, hang on a second, we're not going to allow this to happen. And we understand that the targeted attack that took place against that Lion's Den leader in Nablus was really designed with a few things in mind. First of all, to obviously hit Lion's Den very, very hard and to show that Israel is very intent on taking out the leadership. Second of all, to prevent any further outbreaks of violence, so to prevent any killings of individuals who might be around that area that might give rise to a further round of violence, and to simply try to put the lid on things, bearing in mind, of course, that a week tomorrow we go to a national election as well. And so all of this in the surroundings is very destabilizing at the moment. And of course, the Israeli government stands accused at the moment of allowing this uptick in violence, this upsurge in violence, to take place on their watch, and could potentially have an impact on how people vote next week in the election. So a real attempt to try and put a lid on things. And of course, we can't ignore the fact that a lot of these groups are being more and more linked to the Fatah administration, the Palestinian Authority, and also to Hamas. If we look back last week to the death of Udayl Tamimi, that individual who initially shot the border police guard Noel Azar and then went on to carry out an attack on the edge of Maale Adumim and was killed, video footage showing how he was killed, and then Palestinian children reenacting the act of the heroism of him being killed. But minute silence was held by Hamas, by Fatah, by Lebanon, by countries around the region, all in memory of Udayl Tamimi, who has now been classified as not only a martyr, but something of a hero in the eyes of not only the Fatah and Hamas movements, but in the eyes of the Palestinian Authority, who declared a day of a strike in memory of this individual who was killed carrying out terror attacks against Israel. So there can be little doubt that the Palestinian Authority is very much involved somehow in these terror attacks. Mm, and of course, the Israeli government saying, we really need to change this paradigm.
Wow. And quite a scary situation, because it's just not yet coming right. Israel has been accused of the latest attack on Damascus. They're at the airport over the weekend. What do we know?
So more than a month has gone by since there was last an attack on airports, on targets in Syria in general. And then over the weekend, and suddenly news coming through that Israel stands accused of carrying out this attack on Damascus Airport. There are those people who are absolutely convinced that this was an attack carried out by Israel, and in fact have even gone on to list exactly why Israel carried out this attack. Apparently it followed two shipments of arms from Iran that landed at Damascus Airport. There were even stories that I read which listed the arms that had been brought from Iran, including drones, and including weapons that could be loaded onto drones, and including all kinds of different weapons that are listed for use either in Syria or by Hezbollah in Lebanon. So this seems to be another attack carried out by the Israeli Air Force against shipments of arms that are coming from Iran that are landing in Syria. And let's just think about what's going on with Iran at the moment. First of all, not much news about the nuclear deal. That seems to somehow have been removed from the table. It just seems to have disappeared. Nothing was said. It's just not on the table anymore. Nobody's talking about it. No progress, no discussions, no news reports. It's just suddenly disappeared from the news. But instead of that, we now have the newly formed, or perhaps not so newly formed, close alliance between Iran and Russia, with the supply of drones going to Russia. We understand that thousands more drones are earmarked to be sold to Russia by Iran for use in Ukraine. Not only the drones themselves, but also some of the weapons that get loaded onto the drones. So that's Iran very much involved in Russia. Iran having to deal with local protests against the Islamic regime. Those protests are increasing over time, rather than the Iranian regime managing to put a lid on them. That's apparently not the case. Lots and lots of video footage coming out of Iran showing people protesting against the Islamic regime, the anti-burqa protest, women showing that they will go around without the hijab and without the burqa, and they will be allowed to be set free from these restrictions. Iran also very much operating in Syria, shipping weapons now to be used against Israel. So this is becoming a much, much bigger issue involving more and more countries than simply being targeted towards Israel.
Yeah, it's indeed. It really has become pretty much a global war. It's just not something that we've recognized to the extent that we possibly should. President Herzog will visit the U.S. What's the purpose of the visit?
So this is just, I think I would classify this as just a friendly visit. between the President of Israel, who has been invited to the White House to meet with President Joe Biden. When President Herzog took office, he was extended an invitation, and that invitation was renewed at the time that President Biden visited Israel. Apparently, the official invitation was then sent two or three months ago for President Isaac Herzog to pay a visit to President Joe Biden in the White House. Of course, it will be something of a family event because the president's older brother, Michael, is Israel's ambassador to the United States. So he will join his brother, the president, when they visit the White House. The White House visit is slated to take place on Wednesday. So President Herzog today, I understand, will be meeting with the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, who will be visiting Israel on a two-day official visit to talk about cooperation between Israel and the Netherlands. And I'm sure that gas will be on the agenda, amongst other things, agricultural cooperation and a number of technology and a number of other areas of common interest between Israel and the Netherlands. And soon after meeting with the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, the president will then fly to the United States. And we understand that this is just really friendly conversation. This is Israel being acknowledged further as having super close ties with the United States. And with all that's going on in the world right now, with the Iranian issue, with the Syrian challenges, with Russia's war in Ukraine, I have little doubt that Israel and the United States will be looking to cooperate even more than was the case before. And of course, that cooperation has been something that's been in existence already pretty closely for some time. So there's no doubt they will also talk about, no doubt, the maritime border issue with Lebanon, which we expect will be signed and sealed later this week, amongst other things.
Absolutely right, and an amazing thing in terms of the relationship that Israel has with the United States and many other countries. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.